Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang.
Video game.
Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ram, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
What is back up, everybody? Corey Vincent here. Video Game Bang is back. And we are excited because we got a good group here. We got industry people. I like that. Joining us from the industry, the video games industry promotion side, rubbing elbows with Jim Ross and Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker, Lexi. What's going on?
What's up? Can you hear what Lexi's cooking?
you gotta
hear what she's cooking.
You did that like you weren't trying to wake up someone in the other room.
I mean, I'm trying to wake up the stream.
Okay. How's work been? How's you know life in the fast-paced video game world?
You know, it's been great. I love it so far. You guys, if you're creators or no creators that play PGA, WWE 2K Battlegrounds, or the WWE card game, or even just the WWE game. reach out to me, even if you have 2K questions, and I can point you in the right direction to whoever that may be, because we are looking for creators right now. So just a little splurge right there.
All right. Usually we save those for the end, but you just wanted to come out the gate with that one. All right. I'm cool with that. Joining us from the game development side of things, Kyle the Winner. What's going on, man?
Not much. You know, I'm just taking a break from playing a ton of games and other stuff to come talk about games. So it's nice. It's always fun to
take a step back. Have fancied you recently? Because it's been a while. It's been a minute.
Yeah, dude, it's been a hot minute. My friend got me into Star Citizen, which is pretty fun. It's a very like hotly debated game. Some people hate it, some people love it. It's just a fun game to fly around with your friends and blow stuff up and
deliver space cargo. Is that one of the ones where you're like really committed? You have to spend real money to buy your ships and things like that?
You can go like full whale and buy the biggest ship. I spent like $40, which is like just the base game, and you get like a free ship, and then you can like just make money that way. So, I don't know. I've been doing it that way, but yeah, you can like full whale out and buy like huge ships, and some people don't like that or whatever.
You get to see those people. Do they feel good about themselves? Are they happy? Can they look themselves in the eye at night?
My favorite is when they're like landing, so you just steal their ship and be like, ha ha ha, I'm the whale now, and like fly away with their giant ship.
Oh, man. Yeah. I just so like.
Eventually, you get caught by space police and get sent to space prison. So which you have to legitimately do a time to get out. And then I've been playing Unravel 2, which is this like cute little platformer side scrolling game that is a two player game I play with my wife. And we just got it today, and it's super fun. It's like beautiful. It's like kind of one of the few platformers that take advantage of like nice physics rendering and good lighting systems. And it's made of, you know, the characters are yarn, so you throw a piece of yarn and it moves like a string wood, which is really cool. So
okay,
two family, very different family types game. Of games.
Yeah,
I heard that game is really good.
It's beautiful. So, yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah,
I feel like I just play the games at the wrong times. I wait too long. I've been playing so much Destiny 2. Like every free moment.
Dropping new stuff?
Yeah, they're dropping new stuff all the time. But it's just like
update or something.
Everybody I know and I've talked to about it, who I knew was into it, it's kind of like, oh yeah, I already ran through and played everything. And they only come back like when the new expansions launch. So I joined it like the absolute worst time where I did get to play with David Webb, though. So long time listeners will know David Webb. We bro'd down for like a good 4 hours, and I'm so pissed at myself for sleeping on this game. I hated to love Destiny 1, but it betrayed me with kind of how they monetized things. And so that was frustrating. And so I left. And the gameplay was so repetitive. It was walk into a room, clear room, look at computer, defend computer, go to the next room, and then do the same thing over and over again. Yeah. The only thing that were good were those raids that they would do where they took like a legitimate amount of coordination and skill. Did you do those?
Yeah, last weekend I did. Last weekend, I got with some friends. And I don't like play that much. I've got like maybe 50 hours in the game. But I was just like, yo, I want to start trying to play with more people because like that's what keeps me playing games. And we did... I forget what it was, but oh my god, we did it like 20 times. And like, if one person messes up something, you gotta restart it. Yeah. And so like, you gotta like communicate. Like, okay, I'm gonna throw this to you. Then you gotta do that. And okay, then shoot these guys and then clear that. And then we switch. I'm like, oh my god, dude, it gets so complicated. But like, it's super worth it at the end if you like do it with like a team of people.
Those were the most gratifying like gamer moments because like legit, there was no like instruction manual when they'd put that raid out and everyone was there just waiting for it to drop and then everyone would get in and you just got to learn on the fly. And then of course someone figures out how to cheese it. Like I remember the one of the first bots, Crota, there was a way you could cheese him to the edge and boost him off and then just farm. And so we would go, they didn't even have matchmaking too. We sat through the game and then you download the LFG app and get into
a group. Yeah.
I put so much time, like I was in the community. And then the game betrayed me and I left it and I swore I'd never play again. But good Lord, they fixed a lot of their mistakes in Destiny 2. The maps are just so beautiful. They brought some of that competitiveness and like puzzle solving because at a point these bosses are just easy and just firing bullets into them gets even more boring. But if you just put a pattern, like you can only shoot him when he turns this and then this thing drops down, you have to go kill these. Like it still just makes it infinitely more fun. So I'm really enjoying that game. And now that I know you play, I got to get some invites because I've just been going solo. Cool. Lexi, you been playing anything new?
Yes. I've been obsessed with Among Us on my phone.
You're getting into the Among Us thing?
Like every 5 seconds, every few minutes, like any spare time I have that I'm not playing League, I'm playing Among Us on my phone. Like, we should literally play Among Us.
Are you good at it?
Good. So, it depends. Like, it depends because, like, so I go as Pink and everyone goes, Pink is sus. Like, as soon as I enter, even if I'm not the imposter, I'm like, bruh, please, can you please leave me alone and let me be my Pink in my own lane? Like, but no, like, sometimes I'm good. Like, I like to play the ones where it's two imposters because if I play one, it takes forever to come back around for your chance to be the imposter. Whereas if you play as two, at least you get it like maybe 5 out of 10 times. Like you get to be in the imposter a lot. And I like being the imposter. I just discovered venting today. I didn't realize that you could go into the vent.
That's the only thing I know about the game.
No. So I've been just going around sniping people, like just ninja them out, like GG. And then I like literally I will comment to everybody. I'll be like, no, it was Brown. And there was this one time, I swear, I killed like two people in front of one other character. And you know how you can like report the body or whatever?
Yeah.
Like this person reported it. I was like, I literally said that person, like if it was Green, I was like, it was Green. And Green was like, no, I just saw you kill them. I was like, nope, believe me, it was Green. And then they all like voted him off. And I was like, yeet. Wow. And I won the game that way. Like, so I'm pretty good in that respect. But when I'm a crewmate, like I'm the crewmate who goes around and does all the freaking like tasks you have to do and like quickly. Because I don't want them to win. So I'm like constantly going. But then I get caught out sometimes and I get killed and I'm like, oh my God. You know, but yeah, I'm not a crewmate.
I played for a little bit and it was in voice. So
yeah, I think the voice is the best way to do it.
Wait,
yeah.
How do you do that?
With like a Discord group?
Yeah, you get
in
a Discord group.
Really?
I played with the group. Yeah. And it was cool. Like, if you died, you just stopped talking. And then there would be times I'd be walking with someone and I'd be like, hey, bro. Yeah. How you doing? And then he'd kill me. And then everyone else was so focused on what they were saying and doing that they didn't notice that my comms were cut off completely. And the last thing I said was like the dude's name. I was like, hey, George, what are you doing?
Oh, no.
Wait, so you play it where you don't mute in like during gameplay. I know most people play it to where they only talk during like
meetings.
Yeah, during meetings and voting and stuff like that. I think that's when most people play. But like,
yeah, I got in
doing it while you're running around. I think that's more fun.
It's a whole different game.
It cuts your voice off, like if you die.
No, we just
honor system.
It's just honor system. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
What do kids these days know about the honor system? They don't know shit.
You guys, we should do it live, like on video game.
Yeah.
Like, that would be awesome. We should do one.
Yeah. I think you really realize which of your friends are, like, shitheads, though. Like, the ones that could really lie good. You're like, holy shit, I didn't know you had this in you to lie like that.
Like, you get, like, people who, like, can convince a full group of people that just, like, game other people are, like... Like the ones who were like rallying a revolution behind them, like those, those are some people. You're like, dude, oh, I know you. You would be the one to start a prison riot. I know you.
Like, yeah, and I feel like since I kind of have just a regular reputation for being a bullshitter, you know, I get targeted, and I'm not even that good.
Oh yeah,
you
yeah.
know, like. I'm just getting gamed by people. Like, this dude had me thinking I did it. I think that's the whole thing that people are really loving about that. It takes the video game aspect, it takes elements of like Jackbox Party Pack, and then, you know, those games everybody loves right now in the like Werewolf and you know, it's
Mafia and whatever.
Yeah, Mafia. It's got like that brown sound, baby. That's what I like.
Dude, I played with some like game designers who were like in the world, like that's what they do, and like, oh my, it's like expert level because they know, like they play it all the time, and like they know how to do it, and like they know the secrets and the strategies, and like
there's metas for just lying. Oh, that's what the game
so ridiculous,
is.
Dude.
The game is just called should be just called lie to your friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you see.
Well, somebody said that this game existed like a long time ago as like a card game or something. I heard in passing or something, and they basically brought that to life. Through video games, like
social, just sit in a circle and like, all right, close your eyes. You can kill two people. Who do you kill? And you have to like try to figure out who it is.
And I'm thinking, like, as people are saying this, I'm like, is this Heads Up 7-Up? Like, throwback, okay, boomer.
It's very expanded on Heads Up 7-Up.
Yeah.
A couple extra rules.
We had some news happen this week, some pretty cool stuff. Since, you know, everyone's talking about debates and voting and all this stuff you should be watching and doing, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC plus three, had herself quite the debut on Twitch. So this isn't her first like foray. I think she'd like drop in and give donos to people and hop in people's voice chats. Like, she knows what's up. She knows the Twitch community.
Plays League.
She tweets about her rank and stuff. And she actually teamed up with Pokimane. Who else did he have? Dr. Lupo.
Valkyrie.
They did a Among Us stream and had big, fatty numbers. 439,000 concurrent viewers. That's the third all-time peak viewership for an individual non-sponsored stream. The only ones that were bigger were Ninja when he played with Drake and Shroud when he made his big return. So that's massive viewership. And it was like a movement across social media platforms. Yep. Did any of you guys watch any of this?
I did watch some of it, and I thought it was awesome. I thought, like, my favorite moment was Valkyrie, her and Toast, and they were, like, both imposters walking right by her, and, like, she was just, like, how you said earlier, like, da-da-da-da-da, and then they, like, killed her. That was
awesome. Yeah, I was watching, and, like, I would open up Twitter, and, like, all the people I knew, like, from the Tier 2 Overwatch world were, like, live tweeting, like, oh, my God, what a great play. Like, it was, like, live tweeting. It was like being in a Twitch chat, which That was the one thing I was like super worried about. Sorry, I'm like dying here.
He got really excited about this. Okay. Like, take your time. Don't die. This is an hour show. We got plenty of time. There you go.
All right. Wait. No, I can't. Damn it.
I will say I was proud of how well it went and how well of the response from like the Twitch community, especially like the people she got to play with, like how they responded and how excited they were to play with her. I thought that was awesome because, like, you know, you see them, like, we watched them and it's like, oh man, like, it would be cool to play with this person or that person, you know, their personalities and stuff. But it was cool to see their faces light up about her, you know, like, oh my gosh, we get to play with her, you know. And then just her, like, giving advice as far as, like, the whole voting and everything. Like, it was just nice to see the whole community come together for, you know, it's been a minute. We needed this.
It also came together in a day, which was wild. Yeah. Like, she went, like, grabbed a bunch of streaming stuff, like, that had, like, Twitch reach out to her and do stuff. And, like, I was impressed that it didn't get, like, destroyed by spam bots and stuff like that. Because, like, anytime you have someone new who, like, gets hosted or takes off, it just gets botted or, like, spammed with vulgarities and stuff like that. Like, they, you know, they had that, which was really good to see.
Yeah, it wasn't just
like, good moderation stuff.
I think it wasn't just jumping in. She actually was aware of the product, how it works, was ready for that kind of stuff, where I think most times when this happens from a, especially particularly like a politician more so than even an actor, you know, they don't know what to expect and the levels of Pepe that could go through the chat, you know, and penises and all the other stuff, but they knew exactly what was up, went to professionals and managed it well. I didn't watch it, not for any reason. I just, you know, didn't catch it. So was there a like hardcore, was this like a vote thing and they were just talking about voting or was it just a general,
she was just like video did games? Info, like I think the start, maybe the end about like, oh, here's what you need general. To do vote, like how, you know, here's where you can go and kind of just like plugging people, like just go vote, here's some resources, doing stuff like that. And she had like a poster up behind her with like the link of the website or whatever, but like it wasn't like 3 hours of you should vote here's what you vote for. It's like
it was very subtle.
She did a little bit at the start and I think she probably ended with it too, but like for the most part it's just her playing games with some famous people.
All right, Trump calls you on the phone, Minty, and he's like, hey, I'm gonna do this stunt on Twitch, I need some people to play Among Us with me. I mean League. He's not even gonna play Among Us. Trump calls you. He's gonna say,
us, Corey. I need, so my response could have been right.
I need a duo, and you're the one, Minty. Please, will you play with me? Would you stream with Donald Trump?
I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. Now, whether we win or lose, that I can't tell.
Oh, he's top 500.
I don't know if I'll help him. Or not.
He's top 500. He's gonna carry you.
He's top.
So that was cool. That was a really busy day, especially for Dr. Lupo. I didn't realize he was part of both things because Borat, very nice, my wife. Gotta throw that in there every time I can. He had his new movie coming out and he went on Dr. Lupo stream and like it was a mistake from Kazakhstan because he's a doctor trying to get some advice on his genitalia because it's a ball rat, you know, got to do it again there. Okay. Did you catch this one? Anybody here?
I did not. I didn't even know it existed. I knew that at one point Lupo was in the game and he had to like shut down some unhappy people. And there was like a clip of him at like the top page of Twitch or, you know, all the live stream posts with him dealing with people being silly, but like I didn't know it was the same day or like
interview format same. It was that morning, like I saw it because I got tagged because there was a little Overwatch part where Dr. Lupo was like, so do you play games, Borat, you know, have you heard of Overwatch? And he made some really really vulgar thing I can't even repeat here in clean conscience about Overwatch. And I went from like, oh, this would be a fun thing to pull. No. Let's just pretend that one didn't happen. So it was very typical Borat. The movie came out actually like right after the debates. I watched it immediately just because it was very nice. I watched it with my wife And,
oh my gosh.
I just got to do it. I'm sorry. I'm so glad Ball Rat's back in culture because that's my only impression. And now I have an excuse to do it. Did you guys have any interest in watching that movie? Does Dr. Lupo make you more interested than you were before?
I mean,
if it's free, I'll probably watch. Like, if it's on Netflix, it's I might give it a watch if I'm like up at 4 a.m. and can't sleep. I'm like, all right, let's just do this.
But
I'm not
really?
Gonna. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure my wife would hate it.
Wait,
so I probably wouldn't.
Who would hate it?
My wife. I'm pretty sure she would not find it
remotely funny. Who would say it? Your
my significant other.
He's trying to make you say it. I was trying to get you
to say my wife.
Yeah,
come on, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be your forever battle there, Corey.
Phil Spencer has been dropping bombs. He's been all over the press tour. Actually, the marketing has been, you know, Five Head
Gold.
So far. Yeah, it's been great.
Oh yeah,
they're partnering with rappers now. We've approached the rapper section of the promotion. PlayStation has an exclusive deal. You said with who? Cactus
Travis
Jack?
Scott.
Cactus Jack, Travis Scott. What's the deal between those two?
I don't know. What?
I thought you put the news story on there.
I did it. They did Travis Scott, yeah. But is it a nickname or is this a different person?
No, didn't they give? Yeah, Cactus Jack. That's Travis. Dude, you are so not cool.
Never heard of that being used by that name at all.
Have you ever bought a pair of shoes?
Never. Never Holy bought no, crap. But yeah, they like brought in. I don't know if this was just because they saw the success with McDonald's being like, "Yo, Travis Scott, let's do a thing," and then they're literally like PlayStation's like, "Yo, Travis Scott, let's just copy the what was that? It was an old commercial in like the 80s or 90s where the person sits down in the chair and they listen to the tape and it's like really like Miramax or whatever it was. I forget what it is, but it's some
I have no idea
like super hey, old like Dolby or something." And they like ripped it off and literally just did that with the PlayStation. And then he's also some title of something with them, like creative, strategic creative partnership.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. I think they're literally just putting his name on something.
Well, you see, Travis Scott, he don't miss, I think. And so whatever he gets on right now, he's got that fire. And he's got to use it while he has it.
Are you hip with the young kids lingo here?
I'm trying to say it so younger people understand.
Right.
You know.
Okay. Yeah.
It's straight fire, son. But any shoe collab he does sells out immediately, and it's automatically worth 10x more on aftermarket. Like the same thing, McDonald's. Through the roof. It's cool again because they partnered with Travis Scott. Meanwhile, Xbox got Snoop. They go with the classics.
Yeah.
You know, this is for the G's. This is for the hustlers.
I literally reached out to him because I saw that freaking refrigerator and I needed it 100% right at that moment. And I was like, please, like, can we hang out? Can we play games? Can I just touch your fridge? Because those are the questions you ask influencers these days.
Wow.
Especially in quarantine. So I'm just like, can we just hang out? Can I like grab a drink on your fridge
and
just hang out with the Snoop Doggy Dog?
Snoop D-O-double-G.
Maybe some brownies here or there, you know? But
did he? So you were trying to fish a follow back for him on social media? Is
I
that
was
what you're trying
to,
do? To
fish a follow or wow. a comment.
You're chasing the follow
back from the Snoop Doggy Dog.
I think you and me need to have a race to see who can get Snoop to follow them first.
Oh my!
Because I too tagged him in a post a couple of weeks ago,
trying to Corey fish a response. Get the first one, but you know who I got? I got the Undertaker. So get at me.
I need the Undertaker really bad. But Snoop, I mean, I thought that was kind of funny just because the last time I think I remember Snoop and Xbox in a story together was when his Xbox wasn't working and he filmed himself like raging on it. So I didn't think they were on great terms. That was the one where he was like, fix your shit, Microsoft. And it was like I burned into my mind. But now he's back promoting the Xbox. I don't know. It's kind of like the presidential election at this point. I don't think picking Snoop Dogg or Travis Scott's really going to change too many people's minds on what they're going to buying, what they're going to be buying this the end of this year.
Yeah, what is what they're doing with like the Game Pass and the, the hardware and stuff. Because like that's the one thing that like in terms of the last like couple of years, dude. It seems like Xbox has been getting burnt by PlayStation, like, every different scenario. Like, the console was better for PlayStation. It was cheaper. There wasn't any, like, DRM issues like they had when they first launched the Xbox One. Yeah. People were like, the game is going to be, you know, it's going to be on all the time, and I need to be connected to the internet to play non-internet games. Like,
that flipped people's just, shit, like, yeah.
Huge missteps from Xbox. And now they're finally, like, actually doing better with the Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then hearing about the little bundled TV stick, you can play cloud games.
Mm-hmm.
Super sick. Like, they're really pushing forward on some ways, which is like Sony's doing cool things with like better graphics technology and like the way that they're utilizing hardware and software to game quicker on
cloud,
like lower end custom hardware, which is super interesting. Like,
yeah, that's why I thought I saw this coming, and I was really, really confused with the fact that they put so much focus on Project xCloud so so soon before the launch of the console. Like, if I was pulling the strings and making the decisions, I'd want to get the console thing going first, you know, sell as many of those as possible, and then be like, oh, by the way, here's the Xbox TV stick that's going to cost $99 and, you know, be just as useful, you know?
So, yeah.
That's where we're heading, though. And I think that's why I really believe the console war and these consoles are kind of done. I think this is the last stand. I feel like PlayStation
might... Do you think it's all going cloud-based?
I think it's all either going cloud-based or they're just going to be PCs. Like, everything's going to be cross-play. Yeah. And the only thing that's going to differentiate a PlayStation from an Xbox is... And I think it's kind of like this right now, is an exclusive title, like God of War or something like that.
Also, literally, on PlayStation, that's the only difference. Like, on PlayStation, they had all the free games. They were giving out games like candy. But then Xbox stepped up their game with the Game Pass. And I think that really helped turn things for them. Like, well, even though it's not, like, free, you know? Like, if you pay for it, you get what you pay for. You know, you get all these games. And then you get some free games. So
it blew me away that the PlayStation interview I read, just like a few excerpts out of, was talking about them not thinking it's a sustainable business model to put brand new first party games on their subscription service, when that's like that's the quote they're going to look back on, you know, when they're Sega, you know.
There's a lot of ones that are like, oh, there's nothing needs to change. That's like there's no optimism and there's no possibility for that to work. I'm like, y'all are about to be left behind.
Yeah, when Microsoft takes out, you know, and they're going to do what Nintendo does to, like, on Smash Brothers to the characters. Like, to me, it's almost like an insult or admission to defeat when your character lands in Smash Bros. As an old timey,
like that's the retirement home.
Yeah, kind of. It's like, you know, before it was just all the Nintendo characters, you know, and then Sega made their own. Or no, I don't think Sega did, but like PlayStation did for sure. And then, you know, once Nintendo wins and they own you, they take your property and they put them in Smash and they make them suck. They're like, yeah, you're Pac-Man. So I don't know. I think that's kind of like cool.
it is cool.
Yeah. So the other thing we got here too was the latest AAA titles may start trending towards costing $70 instead of $60, which was the norm since 2005. Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War will cost $69.99 on the next gen consoles, $59.99 like normal on the Xbox One. NBA 2K is also priced the same way. What do you think this says, Kyle?
It was one of those things like we hoped never happened, but like we knew it had to, because like inflation is a thing. And like, I mean, it was like this for 15 years for AAA games to cost $60. Like, it's weird that we didn't go in like a 5 minute, you know, or $5 increment at any point, but like we're just straight up to 70 now. But like, I don't know. I feel like we got spoiled thinking games were always going to be $60. And now, like, I mean, like, they're worth probably about the same now. It's like the value of it with inflation is catching up back to what they, you know, it was in 05. But, like, 15 years for something to be a certain way, like, I feel like a lot of people are going to be really mad about that and, like, start hating just because they don't understand that, like, what it costs. But I always found it weird that, like, there's no cheaper deal for buying a game digital download.
Yeah.
It costs
nothing
to distribute. So you're literally just paying for the right to play the game. You're not paying for it also to be printed on a disc and packaged and shipped and stored and all that sorts of stuff. So, like, can I pay $60 on next gen console if I just own it digitally? Like, I don't want to own a disc, but yeah. Like, why do I have to pay as much for something that you didn't have to print?
I would love to hear the answer for that. I don't know either, like, what the economics look like of game development at this point. Like, you know, I guess it's got to be obviously based off of how many people are working on the game, first of all. And yeah. Then, mm-hmm. But you're seeing, you know, a game that's got, you know, 1,000 people working on it sell for the same price as a game that has a couple hundred people working on it. And it's just curious to see at what point they're making money, where they're losing it, because it can't be a winning venture, it feels like. It just seems like there's not enough people spending the money on games. Like the top tier ones, the Cyberpunks, you know, whatever, you're going to be fine. But there's a lot of mid-tier indie games that are going to take huge risks and maybe strike out.
And like a lot of big games, especially like PC and like VR games, stuff like that, they're all just like free to play. And so it's like, it's weird that we're having games cost now $70 and also some cost $0. Like Valorant, completely free to play. You don't need to pay a single dollar to do anything in the game. You just get skins. Like, a lot of other games are like that and like kind of starting to like, I think, you know, Apex Legends, same way. Like, you don't, maybe don't get all the people, but like you get most of the people and can do everything you want to do and you don't need to pay a cent. And meanwhile, on the other side, you've got like $60-$70 for a game just for like the standard edition. Then you've got all these bonus editions where you get like an extra shirt for like, okay, now you pay $80 or whatever. Like, what?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot playing Destiny. I've, you know, just trying to like think about where the income comes, because this game's been running now for a long time and it feels like it's, you know, got a big expansive team on there. And whether it's, you know, continually making money or losing is just, I wonder. And when you're talking about like games being free, it reminds me of that. Have you guys watched The Social Dilemma yet on Netflix?
I still haven't. I need to.
Oh, Lexi, you're disappointing me. You live on social media. You got to watch this.
I need to. I forgot the name of it, honestly. So I need to check it out and tell you my review.
It kind of gives you the whole rundown of you know, Facebook, for example, why it's free. And I think the quote was something along the lines of, if you're not paying for a product, you are the product.
Wow. So that's intense.
And so when you take that and weave it.
Interesting take, yeah.
Well, when you talk about like League of Legends, for example, like they're giving you enough for free to bring you in, and you may not spend thousands on the game, but maybe you'll buy a couple t-shirts, you know, maybe you'll do this or that. And
exactly, I was actually thinking about going to Worlds, but you know, they switched that. But yeah, exactly.
Not anymore, yeah.
I don't know, think about that one and tweet me, you know.
I mean,
late night.
Well, Pratt brought a good thing in chat. He said, like, why not just buy the first version of the game to get the free upgrade to the next gen.
Are they really gonna hold back on you a couple, like, you know, frames per second? Because that's the only thing I could see.
And I don't think every single developer and PlayStation and Xbox are all doing free upgrades. I think some do, like some games do. Like if you buy the, like, I think Cyberpunk is like, it's if you buy it, I'm not, don't quote me on that, but like I think there's a couple of them that are like, if you buy it on Xbox One or PS4, you'll also get it on PS5 as well, like a free upgrade. But I don't think most are.
But is it so like, it's not a different game, right? It's running basically on the same hardware. All the other games are doing that anyways. Like, it's not the way I
is it not
the way I figured. Like, if you strip all the marketing and all the BS. Like, you know, you produce your game 2K, you know, NBA 2K, and then you could play it on once a old Xbox loads it up, it determines the hardware and then puts you like on medium settings or something.
So
I think it's a free upgrade in general. Like, so you're playing as if you bought it on Xbox Series X, even if you have the older version. I think it's like a free upgrade. Like, it's just a like general, like, here you go.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, if we cut back all the marketing, I think, like, the ones and zeros, I'm pretty sure it's the same game. Not like in the old days when they had to make one for Nintendo and then port it, you know?
So I believe it is a different build of the game that requires different things because the hardware is different. It's probably not like an entirely different like code base, but it is, I think, in some ways updated to deal with the new features and to not like limit as far on things. So you optimize the game for a certain console.
Graphics.
You set graphics to be a certain way. Like, you set the threshold to be a certain way, understanding what the limits of the console are at that particular time. So you build a game for, you know, Xbox One, and then you have, you know, make sure you're hitting the 60 frame benchmark at whatever resolution. But now you have a 60 frame benchmark at 4K is like the new standard. Yeah. So now your game has to be able to render that in a different way. And this is kind of like, this is even still out of my like understanding realm, because I'm not a programmer, but like, I'm pretty sure you have to change a significant amount of the graphics settings and code to adjust for that change in hardware.
I was taking it just as like on my PC, because like I'm playing Destiny
on
right
PC
now.
Yeah,
well, no, that's
but like PC, but games are much more flexible in that way. Like, they have to be allowing for a myriad of different graphics cards and CPUs and all that sort of stuff, whereas Xbox, it's just like, it's just this graphics, just this, you know, processor, all that sorts of stuff.
Yeah, well, either way, is it $10? Do you think it's worth the $10 there? I mean, it's the same game. It just looks a little nicer.
And like, who?
It's like a luxury tax.
Playing it, yeah. Like, if you're playing it, like, if you have a 4K TV that can run 60 frames or 120 frames, then yeah, you should do it. But like, otherwise, like, I find it weird that like some people are buying the upgrade just because it's the new thing, but like running it on a TV from 2010 or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I think there's a significant amount of people who are like not understanding that, like, okay, you, as of right now, you're getting nothing extra unless you have a nice TV or whatever else.
I saw a funny
true.
A meme kind of about Rockstar and the GTA series, and it said like GTA, you know, had four games across each individual console, and then when GTA 5 came out, it survived four different generations of the games. It's that game won't go away, and they just keep porting it to the next one because
so many people got so pissed when they like showed a Rockstar logo at the PlayStation reveal.
Oh yeah.
They're like, oh my god, is it a new game? Like, nope. GTA 5 again. I was like, oh my god.
And they do that, you gotta buy it again. You gotta buy it again. And then if you use the same email, you can port things across. But
yeah, or just buy it on PC and just keep updating.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's kind of been the moral of this podcast like, for many years now. Like, if you can do PC gaming and that's a thing like that you want to go down, do it, because the rewards are aplenty. Did you have
like the Witcher, right?
Just like the exactly.
And the coin. I was trying to throw in like a reference right there. I guess it did.
You did great.
I miss that entirely.
Fantastic. Did you guys see they're bringing back Dexter out of nowhere?
Yes, I saw that. I have not seen it, but I am going to start watching
it. Like Jack and Dexter?
Because...
No. Dexter Morgan, the Showtime serial killer.
The show Dexter?
Yeah, the show Dexter.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I watched the first like 8 episodes of it and couldn't do it, but like I've heard it was really good. But like whenever I start a new show and everyone says like, oh yeah, the last like season is garbage, it makes me not want to finish the show. But are they gonna like just do a new final season of it?
The
and just
season,
pretend like it
I
doesn't
heard that
happen.
The season like ended at a point where it was okay. Like it could be revived. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I really beg to differ. This is like, take the Game of Thrones ending and then mix it with Man Lost? Of Steel.
Oh, wow.
You remember Superman Man of Steel, where like he goes out in the woods and grows a beard and stuff and gets all rugged for a second? It's terrible. It's one of the worst endings. Wow. But the marketing...
Did they just rush the production of it?
I don't know.
I think that like people didn't understand how to end shows up until literally Breaking Bad. And they're like, oh, okay. It just seemed like there was no...
And now Better Call Saul, so there's that.
I got some not really news, like hot news, but by the time this comes out, maybe, I don't know, on Monday, basically, Super from the SF Shock, as you guys may know, the team I work for, the one that gave me the big, beautiful
Please
ring,
don't give him any more attention than he already has.
You see this big,
His
juicy
head is getting
ring?
Bigger by the moment.
They call me Dos Veces. That's what, that's my nickname in the streets, Mr. T-Time. Senor Dos Veces.
No, legit. Wait, let's talk about how Corey has became a legend currently playing this game. I saw your tweets.
That was
Corey is about to join the
with like the Widowmaker highlight.
Yeah, buddy.
About to take Anz's place.
Are you a naysayer?
Did
you see
seen that clip, guys? Go to Corey's Twitter and watch that. Corey, you know how, has became a legend.
You know how I knew it was a good clip? Don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby. Because I was playing this game for over 1,000 hours probably. And that is the best clip I've ever had in that game forever.
Like, that's it, bro? You're peaked? It's all downhill from
honestly,
here.
That is my Overwatch peak in that clip right there. True. And it's not even that impressive because, like, there was a Mei ult which freezes everybody in place. Yeah. I drop down with a high-precision Widowmaker character. And it's a lot easier to click heads when nobody's moving. So, like, 4 out of my 5 kills
but
there.
But you didn't. A... Yeah, you didn't miss when you had the opportunity. And that's what counts.
I didn't miss. And the reason I knew it was a good clip, too, because I was like, wait, did I just pop off? Was that? No. Was because people in the chat from my team was like, oh, I'm downloading that. So that was the most hype, excited I've ever been, and thank you for noticing that. I appreciate that.
Shout it out! I know a good player when I see one. Okay, in these streets, I know how hard it is. And when I saw Corey pop off, I was like, shout out for real.
I need to give that game a serious break, though. Like, I seriously need to like calm down after.
But you
after...
say that, and then you don't
game
do
does
it.
Such,
I know
yeah.
it.
It's such a rage inducer at times.
Well, I was talking to Kyle about it a little bit at the beginning, but it's been like a crazy roster apocalypse in the Overwatch League right now. So, you know, we got through the season pretty tough. You know, we luckily, you know, when you win, you have a lot of content to play with. So, you know, we got 6 months to fill of content and things and keeping fans engaged and caring about these players and this team. So that could be a struggle at a time when nothing's happening. But holy shit, I did not count on the offseason being this crazy. There was over 100 free agents among all the teams.
Like half the league is without a team right now.
Yeah. What's your take on like, that from where you sit? You know, because you have a podcast about more focused on the T2 scene. In college tier 2 and stuff. So what's your vision on
So it? I think it's super interesting because most years we like have a good idea of like, okay, well, this roster needs like, oh, they could really use this player. Like Washington just picked up Meg, which was like one of our top like prospects on our list of like, if you need a main tank specifically like Korean, if you're going to a Korean team, like this guy's great or whatever. But then you also have like half of the league is also completely gone. Like Toronto has 0 players.
Yeah.
At one point, Dallas had 1 player and are now picked up like 2 more. Most teams are like hitting the reset button.
Yeah.
Dropping everyone. And it's super like it changes the way that everything goes. And like a lot of people, like a lot of the fans for Overwatch who aren't like also traditional sports fans or other esports fans that like are really emotionally invested in like the individual players.
Yeah.
They're having a tough time because you go from like loving, you know, Lynx or on the Houston Outlaws for 3 years. Oh, he's so great. He's such the nicest guy. Like now he's without a team. He's a free agent now. He's no longer connected with this. And like,
I think in esports in general, I don't want to just generalize Overwatch League because it probably does affect them a lot more, and they're a lot more vocal about it on Twitter and stuff because it has a larger Twitter community. But overall, esports fans from Call of Duty to League to everything are, in my opinion, much more player focused.
Oh, loving absolutely,
the
dude.
Than the brand loyalty of like.
Agree.
Me, I'll always be a Kings fan. When they lose a guy, it's like whatever. You know, I mean, it sucks, especially if you like the dude. But you know, ultimately, I'm a Kings fan. Mm-hmm. In Overwatch League, people like will just bounce from team to team following the player or players or coach or even analyst. Like there's like fans for the analyst, and they care so much about each individual of the scene. So this is like every post I've made since team started cutting, no matter how peaceful or generalized or nice I try and make them, leaves a few comments of, as soon as I saw the notification, I thought you guys let go of your roster.
Yeah.
Just because everybody's on alert.
You also have the problem, and assume this will come in the future, of like, you also have your most marketable player listed as a free agent, technically speaking, because he was on a contract, and then that contract expired because he could not be re-signed, so he's between contracts. And so like people are like freaking out because they think Super's leaving. And obviously you can't say anything yet, but like,
I wouldn't even be able to tell you. I honestly don't know.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So, but like, I think because of all of these players are significantly like bigger on stream. Like you don't have LeBron James, like, hey guys, what's up? I'm shooting hoops outside of it. You know, like, but like you can like watch, you know, Super stream his gameplay. You can watch everyone else like stream their gameplay. And so you literally spend 4 or 5 hours a night watching this guy and talking to him. And you know, he talks back and like you feel connected to him. And so you're not as like anchored to the team. Like I only cared about the LA Gladiators because my favorite player, Sure4, was on there. And then he moved to Toronto. I'm like, cool, I'm a Toronto fan, I guess, now. Like, you follow the individuals because they are so public-facing.
I was like, I was pretty caught off guard, too, because there was a lot of, like we said, 100 free agents is crazy. And then the league themselves jumped on an article that was the one that listed out all the player.
Yeah,
and
they did that last season, too.
Did they? In most esports, that's like kind of a private thing. You know, I don't think they put salaries in there and stuff, which is good.
No, they do. They list like the median salary and like the average salary, which I think is interesting for context, but like I don't think they will ever like publicize an individual person's like salary if they don't want to, whatever. But like, I don't really know what the reasoning is for it, but it's helpful from like a fan and like content creator perspective to like have these contracts publicized, like to understand that like Super's contract is now open, and like if someone pays him enough money and he's maybe thinking about joining a new team because he wants to build something new instead of going for the three-peat.
Yeah,
he technically could. Now people are like can speculate around that or freak out about that or whatever.
Yeah, it's interesting times in the Overwatch community. We'll be following that one closely. But if you're watching Jimmy Fallon, this is the one time a year my mom and everyone in my family actually recognizes what I do is real. They're like, everyone's like, oh, that's that cute little job Corey has. Then until I say, yeah, one of my players was on Jimmy Fallon. And they go, what? And then I say, yeah, and the prize pool was $1.5 million. Wait, what do you do again? Please tell me. It's the only time. No one cares about professional video games unless they're making a bunch of money or on Jimmy Fallon or of the like, or, you know, crossover.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But when is he going on?
Yeah,
is
what like day?
Monday.
The 26th.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. And if anybody's looking for some content to watch and wonders like what I do for a living, we on our YouTube, the SF Shock YouTube, we have this series called The Aftershock, which is like our documentary series. And we put a lot into that goddamn thing. I didn't really kind of realize it until like kind of rewatching it and comparing it to stuff, and you know, probably the COVID stuff happening too made it kind of a lot more prevalent, but damn, that was a lot of work. So if you want to watch some, like, some the pinnacle of anything I've created, you should go check that out. Wow, I call that a show, guys. I think we pretty much crushed it. Would you guys say so?
I would say it does look adequately crunched.
Yeah, I'd say that was a show. What is going on with you, Kyle, the winner? Are you developing any games right now? Talk to us. This is your time.
So I'm in between projects. I'm in the job hunty world right now, so I'm interviewing for places. So I can't like start a project because I may end up leaving it like a month in. So I'm literally just in limbo.
Yeah.
But I keep my podcast going. I'm recording tomorrow. Blackwatch Report. We're talking some tier two players, contenders, and who you should be watching for in Overwatch League next season.
Did you guys do like a recap episode of Grand Finals or touch on any of that stuff?
No, we don't cover like Overwatch League Grand Finals. The High Noon Podcast, which is kind of our like sister show, does.
Oh, okay.
We cover like contenders and stuff, but then tomorrow we're dropping our like big top players to look at list.
Okay. I'm down. Tomorrow, I might have to give that one a listen. You know, I wanted to go listen to you do coverage of the Grand Finals because I want to catch you talking shit, because I know you like the Outlaws or something.
I don't like the Outlaw, not anymore at least. I was genuinely rooting for the Shock. I will tell you that honestly. I was
because you know me. All right, let's go. Because you know me, or because of natural causes.
Because I like watching the best teams, also Logan, and I know you, and
yeah, okay.
And like all my favorite players aren't—they're just out now, dude. Like,
who are your favorites?
All my favorites. Sure, four for one. I used to like the old Envious team, but now they're like all gone.
Yeah.
Anyone who I had interviewed on the show, but now like most of those people have been recently dropped as well. Like Dogman. Like,
I thought you were an Outlaws fan.
I was season one, and then they made decisions in season two. I'm like, come on, y'all, really? What are we doing
now? Now, who do you like? If you had to say like flat out,
I don't know. I'm honestly like, we'll see how the off season.
Come on,
out,
you gotta be one of those fans,
go.
Bro. See, we were just,
bro, I reset
just complaining
every single
about people
season.
Like you. You gotta go for the Shock now, because the three-peat's the most interesting storyline.
Oh yeah, like I will definitely do that. I'm hoping that there will be a team that will actually be able to rival it. We thought that was Philly, and then they didn't. But like, I'm hoping that we have some good storylines. I just love.
Did you hear who their new coach
interesting
is?
Interesting storylines.
Philly's new coach.
Who did they get again? 9K. Buck, right?
9K.
Or 9K. They got 9K.
That's what they needed. I put out a tweet where I was like, all right, see you guys in the grand finals. Because with 9K at the helm.
They needed one thing. Yeah. That was it.
Wow.
Yeah. They just trust him with whatever player decisions and stuff. Like, he is a brain.
Didn't Junkbuck leave recently? Oh, he's coaching
Junkbuck
Houston, too.
Yeah,
he
went to Houston. I think he's coaching, like, co-coaching, assistant
co-hosting with the Harsha,
Which is kind of a reunion. I think they were like ships in the night. I think we had Harsha, and then Junkbuck came, and then Harsha left kind of quickly after.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But
like season one, and then took over season two or something.
Man, it's great. So yeah, thanks for your time, man. We'll have to have you on more often.
Anytime.
Minty, are you gonna push that button? Are you gonna push the red button and start streaming, or what can people keep up with you?
I've been sick this past week, guys, if you're listening to the podcast. So there's that. But
are you plugging your illness?
Me,
like,
you know, I mean, I was like, it is mostly like a cold, like, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, hello, it's life.
Yeah.
Like, you know, anyways, yeah, I'm plugging it.
I give a shout out to my cold.
Thank you for giving me the worst days of my life. No, I'm kidding. I think I might press the button tonight.
Oh, breaking news.
Me.
Breaking news.
So if you're listening to this after the fact, I would like to get on a regular basis. It's just been a lot. But since Corey inspired me, you know, if you guys are listening to the podcast right now live, like, I might just press that button afterwards. Just give me like 20 minutes, 10 to 20 minutes just to set up. But yeah, I'll press it and play some League if y'all want to watch me go down the rift and rage quit, because, you know, I'm upset. I don't rage quit. I'm just kidding.
I'm done. I'm done streaming, I think. If you see me streaming, like, someday down the road, like, I want you to come into the chat and say, what's wrong with you guys?
Corey is not done.
You know it's my last resort, and I'm just desperate for sub money. If you see me on...
Corey's going to quit his job to become a full-time Destiny 2 streamer, and he's going to be like, always it's on the grind, bro, and, like...
Let me tell you something. If Corey said he's quitting, like... No, you're not quitting.
I just podcast, you know, on there. I don't play games on Twitch. It sucks your soul. I like to... It's sacred ground to me when I play video games.
Oh, my God. Corey, that's why you play, like, Overwatch or something that's, like, you know, like, that people can join you for.
Nah,
you know what I mean?
Because,
like,
then if I start losing, like, I start blaming my frames on the stream, and it's just...
Dude, wait. I heard Corey played League back in the day. Now, you guys, if you want Corey to play League with me, I'll carry him.
I think I'd surprise you with how good I am at League.
That would be cool.
I would surprise you.
Let's play League.
I got that Fiddlesticks Jungle. That was what...
There we go.
Yeah.
We need that.
Those are words. Those are probably...
Like, literally, Jung Difference. This whole ELO, this whole season, like, GG, Jung Difference. So, Corey, come on with that fiddle.
All right.
Someone in chat said OnlyFans. So, Corey, you jumping on that?
I'll stream on OnlyFans. That'll be, like, if I get somehow banned from Twitch and then Twitch wasn't an option, I'd go to OnlyFans. And, you know, I am a two-time... Actually, I'm a champion across two different esports titles, guys. I got this championship ring right here. I feel like I earned this. I feel like it is a legit, like, earning, because when I put out tweets for my team, I'm trying to mentally boom the other team and their fans. Like, there's a mental...
It's a mental game, right? When the players look at that tweet, I'm like...
And they start doubting themselves. Him. Yeah.
And they're thinking about that as they're into the server. Like, dude, why did they tweet that about me?
Yeah.
Exactly. And they're not focused on the map, and then they lose.
Yeah. Mom's spaghetti everywhere. That's what happened.
Win-win.
That's what happened to Shanghai Dragons. They read one of my tweets, and they got so boomed that they... So I earned this thing.
You did, Corey. You did earn it.
Corey's
the best.
I'm gonna yell that again. I feel like in like 60 years when my kids are like, "What is that, Daddy?" I work for this.
Oh, wait. Somebody in chat wants to know why you have that ring. Go ahead and say it.
Oh, this is my... They call me Señor Dos Veces because the SF Shock were the 2-time champions. Thanks, guys, for listening to the show. For Kyle, the winner, Lexi, my name is Corey, saying, "Get well soon, Skip." And we'll see you next week. You've just been banged.
Eek.